Thankful we just come out of Easter, and that's my favorite holiday. You can have the rest of them. That's my favorite. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what that represents. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for my sin, meaning that Jesus Christ, the wrath that God had towards sin, He took that wrath out on Jesus, and Jesus took that wrath of God for me and for you this morning. God put this song on my heart, and we'll try to sing it, and then we're going to try to give you what God's given us. Looking down through the ages, God beheld the dying soul. Sin had brought separation, nevermore could man be whole. There must come a Lamb, one whose blood alone redeems, Amen. Bringing gifts to the Father of the soul made white and clean. And when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy, and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and He washed me, this I know. So He left that holy city, traveling on to the cross, thus to bridge the gulf to glory and to rescue all the lost. By His blood He entered into the throne room of our God, and on the mercy seat He placed it, salvation for us all. And when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy, and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and He washed me, this I know. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. I want to tell you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, this would be a dandy morning to give your heart to Him. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is the gospel. That is the fact that the Holy Spirit will knock upon your heart's door and will give you a change of heart. I believe that. I believe that the Holy Spirit shows you what change that God can make in you when He calls you to repentance. And at that point in time, lost friend, you have the opportunity, you have the choice to accept that sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave for you, because you in and of yourself, and each one of us in here this morning, are not worthy to look upon Jesus Christ. We weren't worthy of Him to come down to this earth. I wasn't worthy for Him to die for me, but God commended His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Lost friend, look at that this morning and understand, as vile and as wretched as you are, and as vile and as wretched as each and one of us was when we were lost and out in sin, Jesus Christ still loved us enough to die for you and to die for me, to take that wretched sin away. And if I could say one thing to you, you've been in the wilderness too long. It's time to come out of the wilderness. It's time to stop, like Jesus told Paul. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you. I know it's hard to come in, because I did it before, to come in church service time after time after time and know that you're going to hear the word word preached to you and know that eventually they're going to give an altar call and you get that feeling. And man, just that Holy Spirit just ripping your heart out and you want so bad to accept Him as your Savior. But what will everybody think? Or what will I have to deal with? It don't matter what everybody else thinks. It don't matter what you have to deal with. Your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's no better book to be in. This morning, and I'm thankful that Jesus Christ wrote my name. I believe He did it personally, Will. I do. I believe when I got saved, I believe that Jesus Christ wrote my name down in that book. And so when God looks at me, He doesn't see me. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that, hey man, if you're lost, this altar's open right now. You don't have to wait for an altar call. If that Holy Spirit starts pulling on you, hey, you just get on up out of your seat. You come on up here and you humble yourself before a living God. You ask Him to save your soul. And according to the promises of God's Word, I promise, and God promised it, He'll save your soul. Joshua chapter 5. We'll start in, we'll just back up here. We'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, and that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. And at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and he circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. Dear God, we come before You in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that we felt here this morning, Lord. We're thankful for Your many blessings, Lord. Most of all, we're thankful for Your Son, Jesus, and that He gave His life on Calvary, Lord, to redeem us from our sin, dear God. And Father, we just pray that You would watch over each and every one this morning, Lord. We pray that this morning that You would meet each and every need that's here this morning, Lord. And most of all, dear God, we pray if there are those here that don't know You in the pardon and remission of sin, that this morning, dear God, that You would call them by name, and we pray that You would bring conviction upon them, dear God, and we pray before they leave here that they would call upon You while You're near and seek You while You may be found. Bless Your word, dear God. Father, we pray that You would get me out of the way, that I would just be Your mouthpiece, and that You would speak to everyone that's here this morning, dear God, and we'll give You the praise and the glory for it all, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the children of Israel, they've come. They're at the edge of the wilderness now, and Moses has died, and God has said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And can I tell you, is God no respecter of persons? Is that what the Bible says? Hey, so for those of us here this morning that are saved, as God was with Moses, and as God was with Joshua, hey, He's with you too. Amen. Hey, He promised that He would never leave us, that He would never forsake us. Hey, we don't need to go out into the world and act like that, oh, everything that's going on, hey, it might be going on, it might be bad out there right now, but hey, my God has promised me and promised you that He will never leave us, that He will never forsake us, that He will go with us even unto the end of the world. God's never going to leave you, church. Right, and we need to start acting like it, that, hey, it's okay. God's still with us. Amen? So they come through. They get to the end of the wilderness there. God tells Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And so He commands Joshua. He said, hey, I want you to tell the priest to go get the Ark of the Covenant because it's time to start conquering. Right? Hey, God never promised the children of Israel that trip would always be easy. Just like you and I, it's no. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, it ain't promised to us that everything in life is going to be easy. Lost friend, if you're waiting on your life to get easy before you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, hey, you know what I always said? That getting saved is a lot like having kids. And people say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, there ain't no good or bad time to have them. You just have them. Right? I mean, people say, oh, I'm going to, you know, you need to do this before you have kids. You need to do that. Nah, just, that's how they ain't no good or they ain't no bad time. Hey, same way with getting saved. You know when the right time to get saved is? When God calls you. Amen. No matter what's going on with your life circumstances, it don't matter how good you have it and that you're having fun in life or that you're not having fun. Hey, the time to give your life to the Lord is when God shows you that you are lost and shows you that your sin separates you from God and that He made a sacrifice. He gave His only Son to die the death that you should have died. And all you got to do is trust in that sacrifice that God gave you and He will save your soul. That's the right time. I remember, what was that fellow's name that used to sing? He preached the first revival here. Said he had it all planned out, right? That his dad went to the church and when he was going to get saved, he was going to come and he was going to walk an aisle and just the roof was going to come out off the church and everybody's just going to be screaming and shouting and everything. I think he said he got saved in his living room in front of his couch. I thought the same thing. Man, I grew up in church and I said, man, the Sunday morning, I even had a day planned out, right? Sunday morning, Sunday morning, man, the day I get saved, oh, it's going to be a great time. Little did I know that God wasn't going to save me in a church. God wasn't going to save me in front of my family. God wasn't going to save me at an altar. God was going to save me in my truck driving home. There wasn't nobody around. I'm kindly thankful for that, Will, that there wasn't nobody around but me and Him. And I'm thankful for that. So don't think that you're going to plan out your salvation. Amen. Your salvation that God has offered you is going to come when God offers it and not when you decide. Because the Bible says, no man can come unto me except my Father who sent me draw him. Lost friend, we might get to this or we might not. I want you to understand something. You're not going to plan anything out, and God decides when He calls you to salvation. And at that point in time, God is extending that salvation to you. But that salvation is only extended on God's terms. You don't get to wake up one day and say, okay, God, call me now. I'm ready. That's not the way God works. You know what? And if you try to do that, that's really an arrogant way to look at salvation this morning, that you can determine when God calls you, that you can determine when you're going to be saved, when you can determine what the right time is to be saved. You're telling me that you know more than God? Hey, we all think that sometimes, Christians and lost alike. God, I'll do this when I'm ready. I said it before and I'll say it again, it ain't about you. Right? It ain't about me. I didn't want to preach on the hill of the foreskins this morning. Right? I don't even know why I'm preaching on it, but that's what God told me to preach on, and eventually, if it's the Lord's will, that's what I'm going to preach on. Now, I ain't no better than anybody else, but we got to get out of this, oh, I'll handle things, and I'll determine when I do this, and I'll determine when I do that. Hey, follow God! Follow Jesus. Hey, when the Holy Spirit puts it on you, then do it. You say, do what? Whatever He tells you to do. It ain't complicated. We make Christianity, we make salvation so complicated. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to do what God told you to do. Amen. Now, we'll get over here in just a second. So, He tells the priest to get the ark. He said, now, when the priest stepped into Jordan, and it said that at that time of the year that the Jordan overflooded its banks, and it said that when the priest got into the Jordan River with the ark, that Joshua was to send 12 men down there, one from each tribe, to get a stone. And it said that when the priest got down there in the Jordan, that the rest of Israel could walk across the Jordan on dry land. And it said that once the children of Israel got across the Jordan, then Joshua told the priest that was carrying the ark to come on up after that. And isn't it something, the weirdest thing in the world? God starts talking to Joshua. He says, Joshua, now I want you to go circumcise all them men. I don't believe I got to explain what that is. Okay? If you don't know what it is, go call your parents. I ain't going to be the one to explain that to you. Right? I'm like, wait a minute. They're getting ready to come to, they just crossed, they've just seen a miracle from God to cross the Jordan River. Now they're getting ready to go take a city that had never been conquered. They're getting ready to take Jericho. So you would think, that God would say, hey, get ready for war, right? Nope. Joshua, I want you to take all them boys over there and I want you to circumcise them. Right there at the hill of the foreskins. Like, you mean that was important? Let's take a look at what that was. If you turn back over to Genesis chapter 17. You don't have to turn over there. You can study it later if you want to. I'd rather you study it than take my word for it anyway. Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 through 10, that God, when He made His covenant with Abraham, said, I'm going to make this covenant and that from you many nations will be blessed. And so God tells Abraham that the token of my covenant with you is you will circumcise all of your males. Okay, and the way the law was wrote is that on the eighth day after a male was born, if you read the account of when Jesus was born, that's what Mary and Joseph did. They took him up to the temple on the eighth day for him to be circumcised. And what that was is that they recognized and they had faith in the covenant that God gave. And so this circumcision deal, even though it sounds nasty and it sounds, what are we talking about that this morning? It's a foreshadowing to salvation and the way that God calls you and I to salvation. The first thing that God did was He wanted to confirm that covenant with Joshua. See, all those males were circumcised in Egypt, right? They still did that. And then when they started murmuring, and then God said, hey, there ain't one of you here that will see that promised land. You know what the children of Israel did? They stopped circumcising. They stopped recognizing God's covenant. And you know what? We can get so caught up in life. We can get so caught up in our job. We can get so caught up in what we watch on TV. We can get so caught up with our health and with our family that we forget the promises that God has made to each and every one of us. And it's just like we go through life and we go through life and we go through life and we don't stop and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, I'm thankful that you took my place. Lord, I'm thankful that I didn't have to pay for my sin. Not because there was anything good about you and I, but it was all what was good with Jesus Christ. And we need to stop, church. And that's what God is telling Joshua. Hey, hold on just a second there, bud. Before we go in and we start conquering all these lands, I want you to know, oh, praise the Lord, I want you to know that I never left you. I want you to know that that covenant that I made with Abraham, even though you didn't recognize it for those 40 years that you were walking around in the wilderness, hey, that covenant never went bad. And I'll tell you this morning, if you come and you give your life to Jesus Christ, that salvation, it don't go bad. It don't go bad. You don't have to renew it. Hey, you know, you can't be, well, praise the Lord, you can't be saved twice, by the way. If any of you want to argue with that, I'll see you outside. That salvation don't go bad. You either keep your faith in Jesus Christ or you don't. Now, like I say, you want to get into a theological discussion, I'll be happy to after church with you. But that covenant that God gave to the children of Israel, it didn't go bad. But God just looked at Joshua and said, hey, I'm just reminding you of the covenant that I made with Abraham. And that covenant is as sure now as what it was the day that God made it with Abraham. And that covenant that God made with you and I, oh, that those sins that we committed when we accept Jesus Christ, that He would cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us again. It's still as good now as the day it was when I got saved. Hey, He forgave me of my sins that day. And when I sin, and all of us do, we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God. But even now, today, when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, or I get outside, or I get sideways to God, hey, He's standing right there. He says, you know what? That covenant's still the same. Just come and repent of your sin, and we'll be okay. And that is the privilege that we have by being a child of God. So why did God want to confirm that covenant? Look over at Hebrews chapter 6. Well, y'all might be looking at it. I don't know if I am or not. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Look at verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 6. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, He confirmed it by an oath. So God made a promise to Abraham. And look, friend, when God makes promises, oh man, ain't you thankful that God don't break promises? Ain't you thankful that God is a rock and you can stand on what God says, and that God doesn't ever move the goalposts, you see? God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And you don't have to try to hit a moving target when you come to God. God is right here. He stays. What God wanted 2,000 years ago, God wants right now. You say, what does God want? God wants your soul. God wants you to love Him. You say, I really don't have this warm, fuzzy feeling in my heart for God. Well, somebody has not explained love correctly to you. Because love is not necessarily a warm, fuzzy feeling. Okay, I can look back here at all of you, and I ain't trying to be funny. I want you to understand this so maybe that we can kind of get the proper definition of love here. You know, for all you married couples back here, my wife ain't in here. Well, for all you married couple, I venture to say that you don't have that warm, fuzzy feeling about your husband or wife all the time. Right? Joe says she does about you, Will. Hey, praise the Lord. We need to be honest in here. But you know what? Love ain't that warm, fuzzy feeling. Love, that agape love that God calls us to have is a love that produces an action. Right? If you love God, it will produce action. You say, preacher, you're preaching works-based salvation. No, I'm not. It's by faith and faith alone. For by faith are ye saved through grace, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. But that faith will produce an action. I promise you it will. So look what it says here. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, number one, it was God's oath, and number two, it's impossible for God to lie. Lost friend, I want you to get that. Saved friend, I want you to get that. It is impossible for God to lie. So when God says as a child of God that He will never leave you, that He will never forsake you, you can take that to the bank because God can't lie. Lost friend, the same exact thing applies to you here this morning. That if you leave this life lost and undone, you will, just like the rich man, wake up in hell. And people will tell you, I like how all these people try to come up with these new, well, I've got a new revelation from the Bible. No, you don't. You ain't got no new revelation. Give me a break. It's, oh, hell's not that bad a place. It's just separated from God. I promise you this. That will be the worst part, is being separated from God. But you go study about that rich man. Hey, that rich man could feel. Amen. He could feel, he could touch, he could taste. The point to where he asked Lazarus, just one drop. Just one drop. He didn't ask for a glass of water. He said, will you just put one drop of water on my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Not only can you taste, touch, and feel, but you can remember in hell. You can. I believe in hell, if you lift your eyes being there, that you'll remember every message that was ever preached to you where Jesus Christ called you to repentance and you turned Him down. And you'll remember that, and that will haunt you for eternity. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. Hey, I was scared of hell. I was. We're taking the gloves off, Lord, friend. That's where you're going to end up. You're going to die, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. You say, well, that's not very nice. How you treated God? How you treated God very nice? And you know what? God loves you so much that He gives you a way out of it. Oh, now's not the time for me. It ain't your time. It's on God's time. But look what, here's why God confirmed that oath. That by, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have, oh, thank you, Jesus, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Hey, God wants you to know this morning that He's made a covenant so that you can be consoled when things are going bad. That when things aren't going right in your life and everything is going bad, hey, you just hold on. Hey, just hold on a little bit longer. Help's on the way. Hey, you just hold on, because I've got a better place for you where you'll never cry, you'll never shed another tear, you'll never know another pain, you'll never know another bad thought in your mind. So just hold on. I can console you right there. And you have hope. Hey, that hope is not a I think so or maybe so. That hope is I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Hey, when that trumpet of God sounds, oh, when we look up and we see that cloud rolling back as a scroll and we see Jesus standing up there, He ain't coming to get us. We're going to Him, by the way. That's when my faith will end in sight. Man, I tell you what, the day that I get to see Jesus Christ, oh man, the one that died for each and every one of you. And that's why God confirms that. He says, I want to confirm that covenant for you so you'll have hope. And so when things are going bad in your life, you know that I'm still with you. Hey, brothers, sisters, I don't care what's going on in your life right now. It might be really bad. You might have a lost loved one that's out of the way. You might have youngins that are as lost as a ball in high weeds. Your job might be going not the way you want to. Whatever it is, you might have a loved one that's addicted to drugs. Whatever. Hey, that covenant that God made with you still stands. And He'll say, He still ain't left you. Now, that don't mean everything's going to be a bed of roses for you. Hey, we're going to go through trials and tribulations in our life. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. All this that we see here is temporal. It's going to fade away. What we're talking about this morning, this is your eternal soul that is going to live forever. That's what we're talking about here this morning. So He wanted to confirm that covenant. The next thing, that circumcision. That was a show of faith that Abraham believed the promise that God made to him. Right? So when we're talking about confirming a covenant, when God calls you, that is God showing you that He's confirming the covenant that He's made with us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto only a few people. You know what the Bible says, is it? But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And God can't lie. So that means that grace that brings salvation, that covenant that God has made with mankind, that if they will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that He will save them and cast their sins as far as the east is from the west, that He will never remember them anymore. That's the covenant that God made with you and I. And so when He calls you to repentance, just like He confirmed the covenant with Joshua, He's confirming that covenant that it still stands for you if you want it. Now, God told Joshua, you go circumcise those people. Now, Joshua could have said, I don't think it's the right time to do that, Lord. You know, we're getting ready to go and try to overtake Jericho. And these fellas, if we do this, they're going to be sick for a while. So maybe we ought to just hold off on that until we get on down the road. It's not what Joshua did. Joshua immediately took them and he circumcised them just like God said. Why? Because Joshua had faith in God that what God promised, that God was also able to perform. I'm done. Come on, whoever. You say, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, if God's knocking on your heart this morning, He's already confirmed that covenant that He wants to save you. And Joshua showed his action by doing what God told him to do. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, turn over to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 for 1 second. Colossians chapter 2. Everybody there? Colossians chapter 2. So you're talking about all this circumcision and stuff. You know what? God commands you to be circumcised too. And he's not talking about a physical circumcision. He's talking about a spiritual circumcision of the heart. Not outside, of the inside. See, when Jesus Christ saves your soul, he might not cure every illness that you got. If you got cancer and you get saved, that don't mean that God's going to take away that cancer. You got diabetes and you get saved, that don't mean that God is going to take away that diabetes. But I tell you what, he'll change what no other man can see. He'll change you on the inside, and he will make you a different person. He will make, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Say, preacher, what do you mean he wants me to be circumcised? Look what it says here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That means it don't come from you. Right? You don't do the cutting. You don't do the removing. You say, God, I struggle with things, and if I get saved, how am I going to deal with that? Hey, you let God deal with that. Right? Hey, you know what? There's a lot of things that we all have struggled with before we got saved, and even after we got saved, we struggle with. But I tell you what, God will give you grace. God will give you mercy, and God will give you what you need to do away with whatever it is that you wrestle with. Now, it might not happen the day that you get saved. It might not happen a year after you get saved. It might not happen 5 years after you get saved. But I tell you what, if you'll press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, hey, eventually, he'll help you with that. I promise that he will. Look what it says here. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So who does the circumcising now? It's Jesus that does the circumcising. You can't get rid of your sin on your own. It has to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. So in all actuality, which each and every one of us are here in this room this morning, you are helpless in your sin aside from what Jesus Christ can do for you. That's the long short of it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All that stuff that you heard, if you went to church last Easter or this past Sunday, all that stuff that you heard about Jesus was what God did for you so you could be saved. Because I don't know if you know this or not, Jesus had it pretty good before he came down here. Right? He came down here for you. He came down here for me. For all who will, let him come and drink from the fountain of water of life freely. It don't cost you anything but your sin and whatever Satan has in front of you right now. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's what people's going to think of. I'll be honest with you. I really cared about what people thought of me. I did. I always tried to put on the tough guy. I'm a football player. I knock people out. But I hope you get to the point to where I got to, and where a lot of these other men and women got to, that, oh, dear God, I don't care. I'm tired of putting on that facade. I'm tired of trying to get people to think this way about me. God, the only thing I care about is what you think about me.